All right, we're going to talk about you and your body. When you decided to come into physical manifestation, you chose to have a body constructed specifically just for you. It had to be just right to support your particular angle, your particular temperament, your particular way of being. So what body you got was constructed out of the substance of light. Your soul is a very focused, embodied by light, focused energy with a sense of its self, a sense of its range and purpose. Your body is made of the same substance. It doesn't have the focus, but it has soul substance. What your body is constructed is of, you might say, cells of light, particles of light, that are in their process of developing consciousness. And so the way they develop consciousness is by working as your partner, as your vehicle. So they're gathered together, they and their particular frequencies and their particular energies, into a matrix, into a construct that you are able to enter into that is sheltering for your soul, enabling and supportive for your spirit, or that dynamic, expressive part of you that is essentially you. So when you come into physical manifestation, you come into it with a partner. It is not a machine. Your body is not an inert, non-spiritual thing, regardless of what culture, religion, or whatnot may say about it. Your body is divine by its origin as well as you. It has more illusion than your soul. Your soul is much more real because of its divine focus and level of consciousness. But your body wants to gain consciousness. It wants to have experience. It wants to be lifted by you. And in time, the particles that make up your body, the particles that make up pieces of your personality in this particular incarnation will go on to merge and work with others that are simpatico to eventually form soul itself. So your body is in an evolutionary process as well. You may not be aware of it because when bodies die, any body dying, the physical bodies of you, of birds, of plants, when they die, when the soul seems to leave the body at the end of the experiment or the experience, it appears that the body is just dust, that the body is just returns to the earth. That's only the physical aspect of this energy. That's only the illusion aspect that is connected by frequency to the earth. The body as your vehicle enables you to function on the earth. So it has to be using and working with and organizing itself with elements from the earth. Within yourself, you have all the elements. You are complete. Your body resonates perfectly for you. It has the right shape, the right height, the right weight, the right skin color, the right tone for you. And so it is serving its purpose as your partner. Now, when you come, you have a certain mission. Now, we've talked about this before. There's two basic missions that people have. One is your personal mission. And everyone has a personal mission. Most of you have also a global mission. there's a participation that you wish to have, or some kind of engagement you wish to have with a change of consciousness that's happening on the planet. But your personal mission is primary. This is where you focus. And your body is shaped and coordinated and energized and connected to you through many, many points of light. It exists with your soul in many different ways. It exists in many times and spaces. Your imagination is not limited by time and space, but you choose to focus on one time space. And the body that's there at that time space is perfect for you at that time space. So your body of the child is perfect for you as a child. Your adolescent, perfect for you as an adolescent. Your 30-something, perfect for you when you are 60, 70, 90, however old you get. Your body is perfectly reflective of you. Your body is perfectly supportive of you as your partner. And your personal mission, which is for you to learn how to become the God that you are, the divine being that you are, to remember who you are, to have a lot of fun and adventure and exploration and learning and growing and creating. The body wants to do all of this with you. Very excited, very enthusiastic, all the particles coming together because you are giving the body together all these pieces in harmony, a sense of purpose. That purpose is for you to lift beyond the illusion, for you to step beyond the cycle of birth and death, for you to hold and learn to move energies and resonances of light and love, to learn about love, to experience the light, to bring it into physicality. That's your personal mission. And some of you, most of you, have a global mission. And the global mission is either to observe what's going on and kind of send messages back home. You know, that's just what's going on in society now. Okay, we beam it back up to the mothership or wherever, to the other planet, to those of your spiritual family whom you represent here. You send them information about what it is like to be in a body, what's going on in the culture. If you choose also to participate in your culture, you will then channel energy from them and from your own soul and your intentions and from higher self, from your unseen friends, from those who support you on the other dimensions and levels, from the divine. You will channel this energy to others. You'll bring it through. You will touch others with it. Now, you can do this only in a very modest way, from day to day, or you can do it in a more obvious way, such as teaching and healing and in overall taking care of information and perhaps bringing people up to a level of inspiration that can enable them to tap into their own divinity. You may be inspiring them, teaching them, gifting them with things that help them. So that's a level of participation. Or you may have a grander range of participation in your global vision, in which you want to work not only with people that you come in contact with, as many or as few as though there are, but also with your culture, with your whole reality, to shift the whole reality, to focus on that. And in so doing, you have to work with the whole culture that you are in. Now, you chose to come and be here now in a culture that has a tremendous foment of change about it. It has consensus realities from many different cultures, many different times and spaces showing up at one time in one place. So many options, so many possibilities that it could be very confusing. But you come to take these pieces, to discover these many pieces, weaving them together, and healing what we would call the limitations and pain and constructs that deny the soul and spirit, that deny the divinity within you. These constructs from the consensus, from the collective, you come to work with, you come to shift, you come to change, you come to make a difference there. And so you may be working on a very grand scale. You may be working throughout your day in your career. Maybe very much a participation in this. Most of you do things at night. You travel at night, you work at night. Some of you wake up in the morning tired. Why am I tired? I feel like I was busy all night long. These dreams are so busy. I was with people all night. We did this, we did that. I don't remember the details, but my, it was such a party. I feel like I could go and have a nice night's sleep now. It's just the beginning of the day. So some of you do a lot of work on other levels. And in time, you will be aware more and more. Some of you are already beginning to be aware of what you're doing and on what levels you're doing. Your body, your physical body, here for your physical daily participation. Your partner. In a sense, it's a partner of equals. But your culture, the consensus, has told you your body is not equal. In fact, it is even said your body is not very interesting, it's not very spiritual, it's not very important. It's just your machine that you work in, you activate. It's just your vehicle. That's just a piece of clay. And by denigrating the body, and by denigrating the aspects of the body, the senses, the sensuality, the sexuality, the physical experiences of the body, by saying that those somehow are less spiritual, that those are not beautiful, you grow up with a certain amount of shame. Shame over your physical desires. Shame about your functions of your body. Shame about having a good dump in the morning. Shame about having a piss sometime during your day. Embarrassment about it. Private parts. Oh. All of this is part of holding the body as a less than partner. And so you're encouraged very often to kind of push away, if you're going to be spiritual, all your sensory pleasure. You push away pleasure. You embrace discipline. Not that you really want to, but you think that's what you need to do, what you must do, what you have to do. You're taught to be ashamed of your body. Maybe it's not the right shape in your culture. Maybe it's not the right weight. Maybe your skin is not beautiful. Maybe you're not perfect. Oh dear. It's that body. Maybe your body's too weak, too fragile. You know, all these judgments about your body create separation between you and your partner. If you were in business with someone, or in a marriage with someone, and you did this to them, do you think that they would appreciate being with you? Do you think that they would enjoy the relationship? Do you think that they would have pleasure with you? If you made promises to your partners and then pulled back the promises, like, all right, we're going to eat foods that are healthy and feel good and everything. Oh, but that looks so good. That junk food just looks so good. All right, okay, I'm going for the junk food. If you broke your promises all the time, to your partner, how do you think they would feel? Would they be able to trust you? Would they be happy? We would say not. What would happen would be you would create too much dissociation, separation. Judgments create distance. It's hurtful to your body to judge it. It hurts. They are like you. They do have consciousness. All these particles that make up your body, it has consciousness. When you judge it, when you look in the mirror and say, ugh, gee, I'm so ugly, or this part doesn't look right, and oh, when am I ever going to get rid of those extra pounds? Oh, they're so disgusting. If you were to judge your body, it will start to feel pain. It feels rejected. It feels hurt. What would you do if your partner rejected you? Think about it. You would be hurt. You could be devastated. You would fear abandonment. You could get really, really pissed and angry. You could feel powerless but filled with rage. Well, dear ones, your body does that too. When you don't see that at your partner, you run your life according to your mind. The mind says, this is what you should be doing. The mind says that you've got to go out and prove that you're perfect, got to prove that you're strong, got to prove that you're smart, got to prove that you're right. Prove that you're important and valuable and worthy. You got to go out there and prove it. But you see, you never get the feedback that, yes, hello, you are worthy. Yes, you are smart enough. So what do? Your mind drives the body, doesn't give it rest. Now, we know that with the advancement of your own personal consciousness and where you are right now, what we're talking about is what you have done in the past. But we want you to realize that the damage done in the past may still be hanging on, and you still may find yourself driven by mind, forcing the body to work long hours, to overdo, to push, to drive, to achieve, without acknowledgement that the body needs balance. It needs exercise. Now, we're not talking about going to the gym. We're not talking about repetitive exercise. All right? The body doesn't like it. You know that already. Exercise, body says, No. Why? Because it's not fun. It's not fun for you. It's not fun for the body. But how many times have you forced the body to do it anyway? It's good for you. It's good for A. Discipline. Bodies don't like discipline. You don't like discipline. They don't like discipline. And they don't like you disciplining them. In the past, you have made your body your slave. You've taken it for granted. The scars of this remain today. Your body doesn't trust you. And your body's going to rebel after a while because it's tired of taking the crap you deal out to it. Because any time that you come up with a circumstance, or you did, in which you didn't know how to deal with it emotionally, you didn't have a good strategy for it, you would just dissociate from the body. So many people, they would go through stressful things, and rather than deal with them, they say, okay, I'll think about it tomorrow, because they know if they sleep on it, the next day they get up, it's not so intense anymore. Hey, great. Maybe I can look at it. It's not so overwhelming. Where did it go? Dear ones, it went into the body. The body had to start carrying it. So what did the body do? After being your slave for so long, it goes through a rebellion. It says, hey, wait a minute. You're dishing out stuff. I'm filling up. I can't take any more. How does it tell you? And how did it tell you? It tells you in several ways. The first way is if you really detach yourself so much from your body and you're trying to escape so much from your life that you can't deal with it. This is very common for people in adolescence and early 20s to go through phases of this. You'll dissociate so much from the body will lose its grounding. The body is particles of earth activated by soul and spirit. But it will lose connection with its earth, with its physical origin. And when that happens, you'll get spacey. You'll overload. Too much energy coming in will not discharge. Most people's excess energy will discharge through their feet into the earth, keeping them from overwhelming themselves, overloading themselves. Those of you who have a tendency towards overload are not grounding. Your body's trying to escape as well. But what this tends to do is it tends to mess up your metabolism. It tends to create issues with your awareness. You get spacey, dissociated, fragmented, indecisive, vulnerable. And if you're an empath and you have a tendency to feel other people's stuff, it can be just devastating. You can carry your whole society's burdens. Some people have crushing illnesses because they're carrying so much stuff that's not theirs. You've probably heard us and saying, oh, been there, done that. But there are other ways also that your body rebels. It's tired of being your slave, so it becomes kind of an S&M kind of relationship, you know. You, in a sense, have to control the body. Suppress the body. Keep it corralled, or otherwise, hey, that temper might blow. You shut yourself down. You lock the key. Imprison your body. Well, when the body decides to have a jailbreak, it's going to be your master and you're going to have to be its slave. It's going to do something that's going to require your absolutely total devoted attention. It's going to say, hey, I'm tired of you putting all your energies and your love and your light and everything out there and dumping stuff here, and I'm not getting it. So, by golly, I'm going to take over now. You're going to have to pay attention to me because I'm going to be so sick, so in pain, so weird. Something's wrong with me. You're just going to have to spend a tremendous amount of time, money, effort, energy, and so on. You won't be able to continue doing all that other stuff. You'll have to stop and pay attention to me. You get hints of it when you get sick. You know, when you catch a cold or a flu or have food poisoning or something. It forces you to slow down, to bring your attention to your body, the attention to yourself. It forces you sometimes to sit still and be present with yourself. If you have a negative perception of yourself somewhere, a sense of yourself as not being adequate or good enough, a lot of times you're running away from that. You're trying to escape that. And so, in a sense, you'll try to ignore whatever your body does. But it will make you sick. It will force you to sit still. It will force you to be ill. It will force you to reevaluate your life and to come back online. If you're running away from yourself, your body won't let you after a while. When you're sick, or you have an accident, you have to lie there feeling like crap. But you're paying attention to yourself. You're paying attention to your body. You're taking care of it. You may be taking care of yourself a little bit too. The healing process with you and your body. If you want your body to heal, you have to be there. You have to be present. You need to make a commitment to your body, to be a partner to it. Otherwise, it will run your life. Be so there. I got you now. If you don't pay attention to your body and don't get the signals and don't get the messages to take care of it, to be present, to come back home to yourself, to accept yourself, to love yourself, and to return with a clear focus to your mission, your body will get even sicker, or it will have a more serious accident. It will have to do something to discharge all that excess debris that's piled up. It will give you a disease. It will give you, depending on what themes of things you want to learn in this lifetime, it may come in knowing that this is going to be your best learning path. Your body, amazingly enough, is willing to suffer for you to a certain extent. It is willing to follow your agenda. Not that it had free will to the same extent that you did, but when you came in, you said, I want to learn about this, and I want to play with that, and I want to explore that, and so on. And for some of you, your journey to spirituality required illness or some kind of body deformity. Maybe you had a problem in your childhood or youth to where you kind of limped, or you didn't grow to your full height, or your body was distorted in some regard. Like, for example, there was a client of the channels years ago who wanted to be a ballet dancer. All she wanted to do was dance ballet, and she obsessively practiced ballet, 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 ballet. By the time she was 14, she developed scoliosis, or curvature of the spine. And I said, it forced her to stop that dream, to end it, to realize that's not the focus of this lifetime. There's other things to do here, things of personal development, of enrichment. Those are hard lessons for people, because, of course, you forget your agendas when you come here. You forget the best methods and pathways for achieving those higher learnings that are going to lift you out of the limitations. You forget them. So your body has to remind you. For some of you, when you come back into your body, when you make the choice to come back into your body, instead of running away from it or treating it like a slave, your experience at first is very unpleasant. At first, it is as if you're descending into a pit of pain. People with fibromyalgia and chronic pain situations, chronic fatigue, chronic but not death-defying or not killing diseases, but chronic complaints. When you re-enter your body, you have to deal with the chronic complaint. For some people, this is very difficult. They don't want to go back to their bodies. And so, they will refuse to deal with their issues. Or they will have to live many years being really angry and outraged at their body for treating them like this, before they get it, that their body is their partner, and that they can turn it around. Not necessarily heal the disease if it's serving a function and useful purpose. The body will continue to hold it for you. If you release that function, release that purpose, if you get what it is you needed to get, you can actually heal diseases that you even had agreed upon before you came into this lifetime. Things that people call karmic, or things that people say these are impossible to heal, that can be miracles. But to get there, you have to have a new relationship with your body. And that's what we want to talk about today, and we want to offer you the opportunity to enter into a new level of agreement and harmony with your physical body, your partner. Now, when you start to care about your body deliberately, it's going to be a new experience. Now, those of you who have already started to do this have found that the body is very much a teacher. The body will tell you what it needs, what it wants, and how it wants it. Now, at first, this will seem overly demanding. How can I do what I want to do and how I want to fulfill my life, all these beautiful things that my mind and I have been, harboring and thinking about, and all these plans and everything. I want to do those things. And here I have to focus on the body because it's not working right for me. It's not giving me the energy I need. It's not giving me what I need. I have to work with the body. Well, when you get over that, you'll realize that the body's lessons are not unkind. They're just your stuff that you need to take care of. Now, when you were a child, you didn't realize that the body could carry your stuff. You just automatically dumped it in there. But it's in every cell of your body. There are imprints and memories of painful things, and you're holding on to stuff in the past in your every cell of your body. And those of you who've done a lot of healing work can always be amazed at how much stuff you can continuously pull out of the cells of your body and continuously pull out of your body to release it. So the body needs releasing. It needs to have the shame, the pain, the judgments released from it. It needs your love. It needs your support. Now, at first, it's going to appear like your master and you're its slave. But after a while, you'll see that there is a lot of room for negotiation. Room you took for granted years ago. The body is willing to negotiate with you. All right, so your job requires that you're on your feet all day. And the body says, oh, I'm so tired, I need to sit. I need a nap. Well, I can't do it because I'm at work and I've got to stay on my feet. I got to keep on going. Or maybe your work is that you're sitting all day at a desk, on the computer. And your body says, my eyes hurt. My butt hurts. When are we going to get up and move around? Your body's going to need variety. It needs variety. When you get mentally obsessive, you're not in your body. You don't need any variety. You can get on a kind of a manic track and obsessive track and forget that your body's even there. Or just assume, hey, your body's got to, okay, here's one more thing we got to do here. Okay, we got to do this and we got to stay for this and we got to work 60-hour weeks or whatever. At first, the body will say, no, you don't do any of it. Stop. But after a while, you will find that you can negotiate with your body. What is the key to this? What opens up your body to negotiation with you? It's trust. It means that when you make a promise to your body, you must keep it. Now, what you did with your mental addictions, emotional addictions, generally creating physical addictions, you've got your body chemistry all set up to take crap and to stick it in there every time you have your junk food, your, what is it called, comfort food. That was meant to suppress the pain, send it down, hide it out of sight in the body. That's what junk food or comfort food does. Anytime you eat, you can push stuff down. If you eat something that's really, really sweet, it gives you the sweetness of life that you don't have when you're really, really angry and frustrated and feeling powerless. So that comfort food seems to take care of it. No, all those energies just gets pushed down into the stomach, into the digestive system. If you don't have digestive system issues, it will get into the hormones, into the glands and the organs. And if you don't have that, it'll go even deeper. It'll go deep into the whole very metabolism of your body and distort it. And then your body will crave. Emotionally, you'll crave, your body will crave, and it will seem like you and your body are in cahoots. Let's have some pie with ice cream on it. That takes care of any emotional disturbance. For now, yes. But your body doesn't like the addictions either. The body then is, of course, as an addict, finds itself powerless in the face of certain foods or certain situations of addiction. You will have to break the addiction with love, emotionally. And you'll have to nurture your body through the chemical change that ensues. If you do that process, if you will look at your life and say, where do I have a remnant or residue or anything left of a food addiction or a behavior addiction or emotional addiction or an addiction to a person or addiction to a pattern, where do I have any residue of addiction? Which is this kind of circular habit. It just kind of recycles over and over and over again. Where do I have the residue of that? And if you look, you will find how your body is having to take it and how your body is set and programmed to respond right with you in the pattern. If you had a child who was a drug addict, you'd want this child off the drugs. You want this child to be normal and balanced and in harmony and happy and productive and having a good life. If you can't do that for yourself, do it for your body. Have compassion on your body. Be willing to give your body freedom from the addiction. And then the two of you together as partners can heal. And when you come through that process, your body will trust you. And you can negotiate with your body. And your body will support you. Because you'll be supporting your body. You'll be the partners you were meant to be. The companions you were meant to be. And when you do this, you need to forgive your body, and your body can forgive you. You need to release the judgments from your body. You need to release even the aging programs from your body. All the cultural, social limitations that you've accepted as real and true, your body is carrying for you. You want to break your addictions to food. You want to expand your diet, hopefully, or give yourself the right amount of food to allow yourself to be nourished by your food. Because you see, dear ones, as you go into higher levels of your mission, you will need less and less food. Food is actually a kind of a medicine. It's a form of frequency vibration. If you need a lot of meat, it's because you need to ground yourself. If you need a lot of vegetables, it's because your system is stagnant. It needs to move freely. If you need a lot of liquid and have a difficult time with dense foods, then you need a sense of freedom in your life. And your body needs a sense of freedom. It needs to be unshackled. Your body needs to dance. It needs to move. It needs orgasm. It needs sensuality. It needs pleasure. Now, if you don't have a partner to have fantastic sex with, if you'll notice, sometimes with a very good bowel movement, your body can have an orgasm. It's a different type of orgasm, yes, but it feels so good, right? Have you ever had one of those? Oh, what a dump. Yes. And your body just feels fantastic. The release has been extraordinary. Every time you do that, every time you go to the bathroom, I mean, even if it's not a fantastic one, let your body enjoy the release. Let your body celebrate the feeling of lightness afterwards. Give yourself a lot of stroking. Touch yourself with love. Appreciate your body. Touch your face, your hair, your limbs, all your parts of your body. Touch them. Feel them. Give love to your body. Make promises to your body that are good for it and you and are fun. Make promises for fun and keep them. Have more fun. Really, dear ones, your essential nature is a lot of fun. And you've kind of been trained not to have so much fun. You've got to be serious and earn a lot of money, and you've got to be this, and you've got to be stable, and you've got to be that, and this and that and the other. You've got to give your body more fun, whatever that is for you. Most importantly, you've got to honor the temperament you came in with. Everyone chooses a certain temperament. That is a certain way of moving energy through the body. You need to honor that. What is your temperament? Is it an earthy temperament? Solid, stable, strong, reliable, powerful with choice? Is that your temperament? An earthy temperament? Practical? Grounded? Functional? Is your earth temperament air? A bit flighty? Kind of free, easily moving from this to that to the other, perhaps distracted easily, floating, always kind of connecting with things that are on the other side, ideas, concepts, intellect, idea, communication, flowing, always up and moving about, light. Or perhaps in meditation, drifting and dreaming. That's air. Is that you? Or are you fire? Passionate? Enthusiastic? Powerfully focusing energy, moving lots of energy through you, healing, enthusiastic celebration of life. You want experience. You want the dynamic of it. You want to get in there and really feel it. Joy, passion, sex, fast cars, whatever it is, fire. Or is it water? You want to kind of flow smoothly, elegantly, beautifully through your life. You need a lot of grace and beauty around you. You need to be in connection with healing energies. You need a lot of peace and quiet for yourself to think, to feel, to go deep inside yourself, to know, to love, to connect with other people, to feel intimate. Now, you have all four elements within you, but there's one that kind of calls you. One that kind of moves you. Which one is it? Where do you identify? Now, if you've had your astrology chart done, very often you'll find in your astrology chart certain keys as to your temperament. It generally shows up there. If you know your time of birth, you can get your ascendant. You know your sun sign from your birthday, your moon sign from the ephemeris from which a horoscope is drawn. From the moon, the sun, and the ascendant, you get a picture of your temperament. A good astrologer can give you amazing, accurate assessment. But if you don't want to go that way, you can just be aware of. How do you respond to things? Do you respond to things in an earthy way? Well, let's roll up our sleeves and let's see how what needs to be done, and let's do some planning and let's get this organized. Let's get this going. Let's get this, you know, here's where the tire hits the road. Let's get this accomplished. Tremendous perseverance can be part of earth. If you're air, you know, you'll be attracted by ideas, by reading, writing, communicating. If you have air really strong in your temperament, you're going to probably have telephones around all the time. You're going to be wanting to have access to ways to keep in touch, to communicate. If you're fire, you've got to have something to look forward to. You cannot get into some kind of situation which has an indefinite end of detail and routine. You've got to have a lot of variety. Air has to have some variety, of course, as well. But fire has got to have something that you can enthusiastically anticipate and look forward to. Fire people are the people who, if they have a kind of a steady routine job, on the weekends they just can go wild to make up for it. Water. Do you need to work with really good people? You like harmony around? You'll do almost anything to have harmony. But you also have as an empath, because water people are very empathic, you have a connection to nurturing, to wisdom. You want to touch people gently. You want to touch their souls. You want to connect soul to soul. You want to be with real people. You might even see the air people as being not very real. A lot of hot air. You might just want to have, let's just have a family and children and just have a good life. And that's all right. But if you are a temperament that is, you know, water or air in particular, and sometimes fire, you're not going to be able to do really well the type A work scene personality. And in your culture, the achiever, the driven one, the workaholic is so admired. But the workaholic is doing horrendous damage to their body. A workaholic's not for everyone. Some people have a temperament like that. Like, for example, the channel's sister is a natural type A. It's her temperament. She's not happy if she's not doing stuff. Going, going, going. For her, leisure to lie on a beach, oh my gosh, that's the last thing she would ever want to do. A vacation where you just swim in the ocean and just lie in a hammock and hang out with some people? No. So she moved to New York City. If there was ever a type A city, it's New York City. It's go, 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 24/7. Finally, she said to her sister, I'm finally in a place that can keep up with me. She's absolutely happy and at home there. It works. But the one who channels absolutely is not a type A. Cannot do it. There's much more the languid, the water, much more the air. Not wanting to do all that busy activity. It's just temperament. Nothing to judge yourself about. Come to peace with and terms with your elements and the balance that you have. You have all four. Actually, you have a fifth called ether. But ether transcends temperament. And so all of you can use ether. Ether is a connection between the physical and the astral planes and the other dimensions. It's the part of you that always lifts. Everything that you do will lift. That's your ether. Where you get your guidance, that's your ether. Everyone has the capacity to be psychic, to have knowings, to get guidance. But physically living the four temperaments and the particular balance that you have is so harmonizing, so healing to your body. It will become so happy. You will have a basis of negotiation with it. You will be able to organize your daily life, your mundane routines, and everything around your body and you. And both of you will be happy. Both of you will feel strong. Both of you will have the energy to do what it is you truly prioritize to do. Hopefully, you will prioritize things that are true to you and not prioritize agendas, like we mentioned earlier, like an agenda to prove that you're right or correct or smart or important. Because those agendas are just judgments. You're just asking for judgment and comparisons. You are asking to judge yourself in relationship to where you think you should be or how you should be, or you're going to get into judging other people because they're not there. And you're trying the best, and here I'm doing this and this, and these people are lazy, and these people are scattered, and these people are immature and irresponsible. Going for an agenda other than experiencing your life in a wonderful, fun, loving, joyous kind of manner will get you into judgment, which will get you into separation with your body, and you'll have to reconnect with your body. You'll have to say, oh, I'm sorry. You'll have to ask for forgiveness. You'll have to perhaps make a certain gift to your body. You'll have to retrain yourself and your body so that it can trust you. That's the biggest issue, really. You and your body. The trust that you have your best intentions at heart for your body. Your body doesn't think so because of the way it has been in the past. Not sure. Even if you seem to be really nice to your body right now, it's still looking, well, but I remember so many times that you just pull the rug out from under me, or I was expected to do all sorts of double duty and got worn out doing boring stuff I didn't want to do. So I'm on the watch. I'm going to be a little suspicious. But when you connect with the body, when you make the agreement, when you release and heal your body of that extra debris that you stuck in there, your body will lift. It will give you the energy. It will give you the health, the vitality, and the longevity. It will give you so much more pleasure. You will feel so much more wonderful things. There'll be more magic in your life. There'll be more adventure. There'll be more things to be enthusiastic about. You know, your body can be a really good partner. The two of you can have a wonderful life experience. And when it comes time for you to end this particular lifetime, you and your body will end it in glory. You will go having accomplished your mission, and your body, all the particles of light in your body will sing a happy celebration because they have gone to a new level of consciousness. And they are going to have the opportunity to become more and evolve themselves. The light particles of your body will celebrate. And that's a good scenario, yes? You want to have a good relationship with your body. Actually, you started out with a very good one as a child. It was just the training that in one way or another reduced it. Reduced that connection, limited the connection. Later on today, we will do some more connecting with your body. We will talk to you a little more. We will have some experience for you. So what we're going to do is take a break. And during the break, while you have snacks and do what you need to do for breaks, we suggest that you start thinking about what your temperament is, what your life is, what issues do you have with your body? Any clarification you might want to use, bring it to us as a question. We're going to have a question and answer period. Think about what you need to know or what you would like to know to help you have a better relationship with your body. All right, so it'll be a little bit of a longer break. Let's see, how long would that be? About 20 minutes?
Yes, that sounds really
good. All right. All right, so we'll return in 20 minutes, and we surround you with our light and our love, and farewell for now.